layers of burned ash across the ceiling. When they reached the outer door, it was also partly open, showing nothing but a great darkness outside.
Don't like it, Ryan.
I know what you mean.
Ryan moved to the door and peered out. The darkness was not total. The sky glowed an unimaginably deep red, with flashes of lightning scattered across it. But each bolt of lightning stayed in place for several seconds, as though frozen there. Distant thunder rumbled. The land seemed flat and sandy, from what they could make out in the strip of light that spilled out through the open doorway. On a sudden, instinctive impulse, Ryan flicked on the small Geiger counter in his lapel. Immediately began to crackle and click louder than he ever thought possible.
Shit! It's a hot spot!
There's enough Millerads here to fry a war wag. Let's go.
As he turned, Ryan glimpsed something moving out in that seared desert. Something blasphemously huge, lumbering toward the remnants of the redoubt. He hadn't made out the shape of the entity, except that it had seemed in that single glimpse to have no true shape at all.
Fire blast! Go! Now!
With the knowledge of that horror at his heels, Ryan pushed JB ahead of him, past the banks of machines, many silent and blind. He saw the others gathered in the door of the chamber, and the look on his face propelled them into instant action. Guns sprang into hands.
No, just get out!
My good sir, I've altered the settings.
No time, Doc!
Ryan elbowed Doc aside, pulling the door and slamming it shut behind JB and himself. The lights came on, and the thick mist rose about their feet.
Here we go. Where to this time?
Somewhere better.
Ryan felt the suction of his mind and the atoms and molecules of his body being displaced. But even as the displacement occurred, and in spite of it, Ryan Cotter knew, with a profound and gratifying certainty, that in fact they had already achieved, truly achieved, what he and Christy had set out to do. They had broken from the bonds that were at the heart of the Deathlands. They had entered the forbidden places, deep into the darks, and they had found something. Something other than their dreary experience in the Deathlands. Something that by its very newness spelled hope for a different life, a different future. That was what they had always yearned for, quested for, put their lives on the line for. Now, Ryan and his woman, and JB and their warrior allies, and the strange character called Doc, were free at last of the deadening reality of the Deathlands. Free to live anew, even if the new life was hazardous and unknown. Through love and through death, they had come this far, and they had seen so much. And now, the darkness fell once more over them all. Ryan opened his eye. A 100 years ago, a rain of nuclear bombs obliterated civilization in a few minutes of blazing horror. It was the end of the world. Doomsday, sky dark. With the first nuclear explosion, the tissue-thin tapestry of civilization was ripped apart. The rule of law was replaced overnight with the somber, draconian edict of survival of the fittest. Cannibals hunted prey. Cold hearts brutally raided farms, and slavers seized anybody they could as chattel. Electricity was seldom seen, starvation universal, rape a daily event, death the only known means of escape. This is America in the late 21st century. Welcome to the Deathlands. Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Acil Ford, Colleen Delaney, Timberlee Chanel, Nanette Savard, Michael Replogle, Kate Torrey, and Thomas Penny. Deathlands Number 2, Red Holocaust. Ryan Cotter winced as he tried to sit up and gauge his surroundings. The lights were still glowing in the patterned metal plates set in the floor and ceiling. The armored glass walls, pale blue, streaked with gray. Instinctively, his hand fell to the smooth butt of the Sig Sauer P226 9mm pistol on his hip. Suddenly, there came the now familiar feeling of nausea as he backed against the wall, shaking his head to clear the cobwebs of the Matran's jump. Only a moment ago, he and his colleagues had been facing death in the darks, the mountainous region that had once been called Montana. Now...
Where in the fire-blasted hell are we?
It had been the group's fifth jump within an hour. Each one had been accompanied by a gut-wrenching sickness and a whirling in the brain, as if every single particle of tissue was being dissolved and spun through a suction pump. Ryan couldn't even begin to imagine how the complex machines might work. Probably nobody now alive had any ideas. All of that knowledge came from before his time, from before the war. Nearly 100 years had passed since Doomsday, high noon on the 20th day of January, in the year of our Lord, 2001. The last day of our Lord. The missiles rose and the skies darkened. The death toll was countless, and humanity stood on the brink of extinction. But there were survivors. From the caves and mines and shelters, they emerged to find a changed world, where a nuclear winter raged for nearly a generation. But they were still alive, and they bred, and their children bred. 3 generations and close to 100 years passed. Most of the United States was changed. Deserts in Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico became fiery new hotspots where storms carrying rain of undiluted acid howled in from the Gulf. Most of California had slipped into the seething Pacific. Volcanoes and earthquakes had changed the maps forever. On the East Coast, the big cities crumbled in the endless rain. From the lawless elements rose a new breed of leader, barons who ran their own fiefdoms like medieval lords.